fellow Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, listeners and friends, you're most welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers here on irishtalkers.com. You can get in touch with us by leaving a message on Facebook, the Talk Show for Talkers. You can email us, which is what we prefer, at info@irishtalkers.com. And of course, you can get every episode that we've ever done on our website, which is www.irishtalkers.com. Today is our magazine version of the show, and I'm joined, as always, by the finickety Mr. Finnegan. How about that, James?
Finickety.
Well, I try to expand your vocabulary as we do for our listeners as well. Maybe I fail, but who knows? Okay, what do we have in store for you today? Well, James is going to talk about resolutions, I guess New Year's resolutions types. We'll soon find out. There is a word of the week, and I'm going to be looking at thoughts about organising your table topics. But we'll dive straight in with James's New Year's resolutions, maybe. James, over to you.
Thank you so very much, Moira. Yes, indeed. By this stage of proceedings, most of us have probably given up on our resolutions. In fact, some of them barely see the first week of the new year. But I hope that you're galvanized by this WeChat and that you'll be back on board straight away. Because, of course, what are we making resolutions about? It may be health. It may be your career. Dare I say it, it may even be about your Toastmaster activities. Suffices to say that it is something unique for you. But there are 7 golden rules to enable you to keep your resolutions. Rule 1, be realistic. Now, I realize that with the virtue of listenership, you cannot imagine me running 100 meters in a world record time. Let me assure you, gentle listener, there is no chance of that. So therefore, the 100 meters world record is not amongst my resolutions. It is too hard, too lofty, too unobtainable. On the other hand, you don't want to make it too easy either. What you want is something to, and I do hate this phrase, but it is apt in this occasion. You do need to just stretch yourself slightly outside your comfort zone. Yes, I know it's nice and comfortable in the comfort zone. That's why it is called the comfort zone. But let's have a go. Let's have a bash. Be ambitious. Be audacious. Rule 2. Be specific. Have a concrete goal that you can commit to. Finish that pathway. Stand for election. Run for office. The two aren't quite the same, though they are similar. What you do need is rule number 3, a plan. What do you need to get in place first? That is sometimes the hardest thing. But, you know, with a little bit of judicious diary work, you can plan and achieve and have that settled before the set time. This one is my favorite. Rule 4, write them down. Write them down in your diary. Write them down on one of those little record cards. Put it on the door of the fridge, especially if one of your ambitions and goals is to perhaps lose a little bit of those Christmas pounds. Put a little card and laminate it and put it in your wallet, unless, of course, you're one of those people that rarely opens their wallet. Rule 5, hold yourself accountable. This is sneaky. What you have to do is tell people that what you're doing and how you're going to do it. That way they can tap you gently on the shoulder when they see you edging for that last bit of the selection box that you are sure is in the back of the larder somewhere. Rule 6, stay positive. This is a process. If you've fallen off the wagon from your resolutions, hop back on. Climb back on with enthusiasm. There will be the occasional stumble, but there's nothing to stop you starting again. And the last rule, rule 7, and it's very much a Toastmasters idea, celebrate the achievements. Celebrate on the way. Celebrate with confidence for every part and every step of your goal achieved. With these little rewards, it'll keep you encouraged, it'll keep you supported, and it'll keep you on that dedicated path. So, listeners, please have your plans. Please have your ambitious ideals, and we shall celebrate them together at the end of the year. Back to you, Moira.
Thank you very much for that, James. I'm one of those people who doesn't make New Year's resolutions because I know for a certain that if I make a New Year's resolution by this time of January, and we are going out, I think, on the 20th, I will have definitely failed to keep that resolution. So thank you for those good tips. Let's move on to the word of the week. And I believe that the word of the week is not too dissimilar to what we were just talking about. Tell me about it, Paul. Paul, come back, Paul. We miss you. James.
Paul, I can't help feeling that one of us should be insulted by that. The word of the week, Moira, is resolute. It's an adjective meaning admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. It comes from the Latin. Prelusove, or prelusutus, which means loosened, released, and paid. And it is also referred to in our old friend, late Middle English, resolute, meaning paid or describing a rent. So be resolute in your resolutions, be resolute in your ambition, and be resolute in your achievements. Back to you, Moira.
Thank you, James. Now, when did resolute first come into the language? Did you look that up as part of your research?
Well, it comes from the Latin, so it's been around for quite a while. And as I say, late Middle English.
Okay. Yeah, well, so, my source says 1375 to 1425. Is that Middle English? I guess that is Middle English.
Oh, it definitely is.
Okay. Oh, yes, you're right. Late Middle English. Okay. Well, I shall be resolute in my desire not to have a New Year's resolution, but to continue this show with, what am I going to talk about? Well, I want to look a little bit about table topics. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you two suggestions for running table topics. And I'm doing these deliberately because I've been to many clubs, and many clubs have different ways of doing table topics, not all of which I think benefit the members. So the two top tips I'm going to give for running table topics are this. Don't ask for volunteers, but direct your question at a specific member. That's the first thing. Ask your question first and then call upon a member to answer. That makes everybody think about how they would respond to the question first. And secondly, if you ask for volunteers, the person who's got the quickest thought is going to put their hand up first, which does not necessarily give the best result for the rest of the members. And the second suggestion is, don't take add-ons. Add-ons come from people who have already thought about what they're going to say. They've had 1 or 2 minutes whilst the first person was giving the response, and it tends to become a conversation. It is no longer truly impromptu speaking. Okay, so that's just two things to get out of the way for my recommendations. So let's look now about how you can organise your table topics. And I have in front of me an acronym, and you all know this one. It's KISS, K-I-S-S. Keep it short and sweet. That's the one that sometimes you hear. Keep it simple, silly, or stupid, which is the one that I tend to think of. But there's a nice one as well. Keep it succinct and simple. I rather like that one. We all know that any good speech has an opening, a body, and a conclusion. The difficulty with table topics is having a good body. And we always want to have three things because three things tends to work well. So let's give a few ideas as to what the three things can be when you are asked to speak in an impromptu. There's another acronym here, PREP, P-R-E-P. And this stands for point, reason, example, and then restating your point. That's one method. It's not one that I've used in a table topic, but certainly I've used it in a longer speech. But in table topics, there's three here which I really do like and have used frequently. Past, present, and future. So what happened in the past? What's the current situation and what is likely to be in the future. That's quite a useful one. Another one, cause, effect, and remedy. What's the cause of the problem? What effect does that problem have upon the situation? And what is the remedy? How are we going to cure this problem? Similar to past, present, future, you can have before, you can have the event, and you can have the result. So what happened before, what this situation actually was, and what was the result of this situation. Another one similar to past, present, and future in concept, which is to look at local, to look at county, and to look at national. Or alternatively, go local, national, and international. So all these ideas are ways that you can think about organizing your impromptu speech, because you only have a short time to do it. The more organized your speech is, the easier it is for you to be able to organize and think your thoughts and put your thoughts out in speech, and the more is going to resonate with the listeners. So a few more tips. Go slowly. Don't be afraid to use the power of the pause. Talk conversationally. Now, this, of course, is much easier to do in table topics than it is in prepared speeches. With prepared speeches, you're often talking from notes. But with table topics, it is more of a conversational situation. But because you are talking and nobody else is responding to you, we can occasionally get into the teacher-student type situation. You know, I'm telling you what, this is what I'm telling you. As opposed to, you know, having a little conversation with your audience. Keep it short and to the point. Obviously, with table topics, we know that in competition, we have to talk for a certain length of time. And if we go short of that, we're going to get disqualified. But beyond that, don't feel that you have to go and talk for the full 2 minutes. But so long as you talk at least for the minimum, which I think is 1 minute, then you're okay. If you can talk for the full 2 minutes without padding unnecessarily, then fine. You're likely to get more points as a result. Another thing that you can think of, and especially for closing out your table topic, is to paraphrase what you've already said. So if you've given an example, one of these, let's say you chose your past, present, future, then if you have time at the end, just give a quick summary of your 3 points. That's more or less all I think I have to say on this, except to say that for me, table topics was probably the best thing that I got out of Toastmasters. It was the thing that I was most scared of when I first started out in Toastmasters, and it took me probably a year or so before I became a little bit more comfortable in giving table topics. But it has stood me in great stead in situations outside of Toastmasters, because it teaches you how to have conversation intelligently. So my recommendation to you, dear listener, is to take every opportunity to respond to a table topic, because you will improve your speaking no end. So there we are, James. Do you have any thoughts that you would like to share on table topics?
Well, like you, Moira, I don't think anybody ever feels totally comfortable with impromptu speaking, but it is a great opportunity to practice these things. The other advantage is that, as I've said many times before, to hear the life experiences of our fellow members is a true joy. And this really comes out in table topics, because you have such a wealth of experience and you never know where the next gem is coming from. Like you said, I always feel that too many follow-ons suddenly becomes just another opportunity for people to hear their own voices. I'm not a big fan of the follow-on, because as you quite rightly said, it's not impromptu speaking then. But there are some wonderful imaginative methods. I've seen one where there are various objects in a bag and the person pulls out the object, then has to speak for 2 minutes on the object, how they do it, what they would use it for, what they wouldn't use it for. So I think you can be very imaginative with table topics. And like you said, avail of any opportunity to take part in them.
Yes, I love the goodie bag idea. I've seen it done on a number of occasions. And in fact, the first time that I was presented with a goodie bag, I picked out one of these power adapters. So you've got a two-way or a three-way plug socket. And I thought, what on earth am I going to talk about this? And in fact, what I ended up talking about was the plastic. It's made of plastic. So I talked about plastics, which was quite interesting. Another one is story dice, which I quite like. You have a number of dice and you pick three dice, which give you three objects or three ideas. And you have to somehow string these three ideas together in a cohesive story. And that can be quite challenging. Well, I think that rounds this particular show off, and we'll bring it to a close. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interview. And it will be, gosh, nearly the end of January. Well, it'll be the beginning of February when we see you with our next magazine show. How the year flies by. So from me, Moira O'Brien, and from my good friend James, Mr. Finnegan, we'll bid you goodbye. See you next week.
Goodbye.